If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
And welcome to the HP podcast, episode number 254. I'm always a little bit worried I'm going to get the episode number wrong, but nobody's ever called me out on it, so who cares? This is a show where we talk about video games. Joining me today, the beautiful, very well illuminated Dave. Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I have a weird question for you, Ben, and I especially wanted to ask you just because I know you recently moved into a new house, but...
A year ago.
Before I came on the show today, my wife and I discovered that there is a mystery light switch on the main floor beside the garage that controls the exhaust fan in an upstairs bathroom.
Okay.
So have you found like weird shit in your house before? Because that's like...
that's really definitely weird. And I feel like a lot of it has to do with light switches and outlets. Not in this house per se, but definitely in the past I've had that happen.
We've been here since August and have not figured out what that light switch does until now, and I figured it would be like an outlet somewhere that it's the upstairs fan for some reason. I'd like to believe it's this is an electrician's sense of humor coming through, right?
I guess that's potentially true. I don't know. It's probably just that that's the place that they could wire it in somehow.
Yeah.
Like that's where the wire ran.
Just odd.
It didn't run into the bathroom. I don't know. Do you know who built the house?
Some guy.
So let's say can you call him and ask him?
Yeah, sure. Give him a call.
You should. Yeah. Just be like, hey, I don't want to throw any shade your way, but I'm just curious what the hell.
I know it's been 24 years, but why?
Right. Yeah, you could do that.
Sure.
Dave, good to have you. Brandon, hello. Also, your room is... I see some light in the background there. That's looking nice on your TV.
Yeah, dude.
Got a little backlight there.
I got the... I actually forgot to plug them in the other day, and I'm like, wow, it's really fucking dark in here. And I got a lamp, too, which is really nice. I don't know about you guys, but the overhead light is like a no-go in Brandon's space of living. I like the ambient lighting more than the overhead light. The overhead light is for like if I'm like building a dresser or like, you know, putting something together or like reading a manual. But even reading a book, it wouldn't be the same. But if I was doing like you know, the Lord's work or something, I'd turn on the overhead light. But in every other case, it is indirect lighting always. So
I'm like a little gremlin. I don't really like having lights on. Like, for instance, today I was eating lunch and my wife walked in and goes, do you want me to turn the light on? And I'm like,
why?
We've been married almost 12 years. You know I don't turn lights
right
on. When I work at night, like, the only light is maybe what gets in through my window, but I have a blackout curtain on it. And then just the light of the monitors. Listen, I'm a digital age boy.
That's right.
With probably going to be really terrible eyeballs at some point because this is how I operate. So
we don't need them if it's dark, you know?
Yeah. See, when the EMP hits and everybody's just freaking dead because they can't find their way around, we will survive.
That's right.
The cockroaches, the cockroaches are going to be the ones who take
over.
Would
you say that they might rise up at that point?
I think that would qualify as a gamer's rise up moment. Yeah, it is possible. Impressive. Well, this is the HP podcast. We talk about video games and stuff like that from time to time. You can support us over on patreon.com/handsomephantom for as little as $1 a month. We appreciate that. Ad-free early access to the audio. If you're a video viewer, you're here. Maybe later. Maybe you're here right now. God, the train is here already. It's coming in early tonight.
Gotta make it appear.
That's all right.
At the top.
We're going to push through. At the top of the show. It's a live show. There's no cutting it. We can't cut around it. It doesn't matter. Is it done? That was three. That's four. Can you hear it well?
Yeah, is it just me? No, I can definitely hear it. And what's super funny is, we're going to talk about this later, but the new Fortnite has a train in it. And so part of the time when I was playing, I was like, is that Ben's house or is that in the game? I couldn't tell.
I was streaming on the background. I was streaming last week and the train went by and I was playing Sea of Thieves and somebody in chat, one of my friends, was like, what was that train sound? And I was like, that's at my house. And she was like, wow, that's so real. It sounded fake. I was like, yeah, that's true. It sounded real. Anyway, we're here on Ben is Handsome, the YouTube channel, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., unless we give you a heads up in advance. And then you can catch us on Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, on the audio feeds if you like, or whatever, YouTube, whatever. You can also catch us over on our Discord channel. HandsomePhantom.com/Discord. We hang out there. We have a good time. We mock today. I accidentally scheduled the show to go live on the Handsome Phantom channel. It's totally fine if you're coming from there. Happy to have you. But we don't normally stream there. But it popped up in Discord and was like at everyone. And I was like, when did this happen? And then the AI took over and it started responding to things we were saying.
It was sentient.
I gotta get rid of that. It's sentient. Yeah. You can't have any of this Skynet shit.
Me6 was annoying for like the longest time, but tonight it was it was on another level. It was kind of entertaining, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a little bit
entertaining. Me6 is completely out of pocket tonight, that's for sure.
Let's talk about feet and everything else. Let's get to some of the comments here real quick. GTA 6 says Real Radic. Yes, we will talk about GTA 6. Edcast says feet. No.
Again.
Benji Bop says, I'd much rather use my desk lamp that sits on my monitor than the actual light at my office. When I was at an office, I was in this little cave, and it was just all fluorescent lights. There was no natural light at all. I had to walk through like seven doors to get the natural light. And I would always like unscrew the two of the four fluorescent bulbs over my desk, over my cubicle. And like, you know, once a week when the maintenance people would do their rounds or whatever to check lights, they would always either screw them back in or replace the bulbs. So eventually I just stuck a sticky note up there and was like, I did this intentionally. Right. Please stop putting them back in. Benji says the train is soft but audible. And then Ed says that's the loudest the train has ever been.
Soft, soft but audible is how I've been described before.
Yeah, I've definitely been in that same situation from what I understand. Guys, you want to get into some news? We're going to talk about what Radic wants us to talk about. Well, I wasn't going to talk about GTA 6, but since Radic brought it up, we might as well get into it.
It was originally supposed to launch today, or the trailer was supposed to come out today. So it just worked out well. Timing was for us.
Yeah. It did.
This was intentional. I'm the leaker.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Dude.
I shouldn't say that.
I was going to say...
Yeah, not even a joke.
Midstream, not even once. We just see Ben get slide tackled by a riot shield.
Dan Houser himself.
Rockstar Games sparked excitement by announcing that this is going back before the leak. Okay, so this news is written. Okay, whatever. Rockstar Games has sparked excitement by announcing the release date for the GTA 6 trailer on December 5th. This revelation broke records, becoming the most liked gaming post on X or Twitter, making the second time in a month. Fans speculate about a Vice City connection, given hints from Rockstar's merchandise and the chosen announcement image. The image, featuring palm trees and three birds, fuels speculations about whether three distinct cities or extensive wildlife in the upcoming game. Rumors suggest GTA 6 will have the largest map in the franchise's history, possibly incorporating sections from Vice City. Soon after, a short TikTok video supposedly linked to a Rockstar Games employee's son, who I believe is a minor, offers a 7-second glimpse of GTA 6's early development in Vice City. The leak hits at three main cities and four smaller ones, making the game twice as big as GTA 5's Los Santos. Screenshots of a conversation with Aaron Garbutt, head of development at Rockstar North, mentioned three major cities and four sub-cities, etc. I don't want to talk more about the potential leaks so we do not get copyright struck, or whatever that's called. The official GTA 6 trailer debuted after an early leak, confirming the game's setting in the fictional state of Leonida, inspired by Florida. The trailer showcases Vice City and other locations, introducing two protagonists and highlighting in-game social media features. Rockstar emphasizes GTA 6 as the biggest, most immersive evolution of the series and is set for a 2025 release on PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. The absence of a PC version confirmation raises questions about its eventual release. Rockstar co-founder Sam Houser describes GTA 6 as a new vision for immersive, story-driven, open-world experiences, et cetera, et cetera. I wrote the same thing twice. Okay. There's a lot to talk about here with GTA 6. But let's start off. Let's talk about when they announced that the trailer was coming. We knew this was a moment that was going to break the internet, even though we all knew the game was coming and eventually a trailer would be coming.
Right.
But Brandon, since you have a lot of experience with GTA,
absolutely
more than I do. I don't know about Dave, but more than I do for sure. Talk about the hype cycle.
Man, it was it churned up right away, and I guess this is coming as absolutely no surprise. I mean, the media cycle picked up on it instantly, and I don't know what got more hype, the actual post or literally everyone posting about it. You know, you kind of had the initial wave of people looking at the photo, which didn't really give you too much. A lot of people were speculating it says trailer one, and they're like, oh, that means we'll probably get a trailer two and maybe a trailer three, and then maybe it'll be out next year. And then you had like the second or third wave of interactions after everyone was done posting about it, and it was people making fun of it. You had all these companies like Fall Guys and Halo memeing on it. So it's an absolute, and they didn't even need this, right? Rockstar doesn't need the extra PR help, but it's so clear how much of a wave that this company has in the industry that it just kept rippling throughout the day over and over and over again. And that wasn't even the trailer. I mean, we're going to get to that.
Yeah. It was the announcement for the trailer.
Right, literally like a screen grab. So, was really, really exciting to see that. And, you know, we were only mere days away from seeing it. And then we kind of got the leaks. I don't know if Dave wants to chime in about the yeah. photo.
Yeah, I mean, just as GTA 6 as a whole, like before the trailer even came out, I remember, I think it was about a month ago where we had our first kind of official mention of the next GTA game. In like an earnings call or something. I remember I was driving to work and it was news on like news radio on AM radio that I listened to here in like Toronto. And it was wild to me that like not even like the game hadn't even come out, hadn't been announced. It was literally just like a mention in an earnings call. And I think it just kind of goes to show how big Grand Theft Auto is like as just a pop culture icon. So this is all really exciting because it's such like a keystone moment. And somebody in our Discord kind of pointed this out yesterday that like it's been 15 years. So like we do not get a Grand Theft Auto game every year like we do with some franchises. So this is a really special.
We used to get them more frequently.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the way that these games are kind of made now, like 15 years is a bit much, but it's still kind of, it's fun to savor these moments and enjoy them because like before we know it, the game's going to come out and we'll finish it in 40 hours. And then it's like, it's another 10 years for the next one to come out. So yeah, I'm just kind of enjoying this. It's a lot of fun to hear about video games and throughout mainstream media, and Grand Theft Auto is just so polarizing that it kind of does that. So it's been fun to see, that's for sure.
GTA has been such a staple of pop culture, not just gaming culture, but pop culture, for probably since at least GTA 3, I would say. GTA 1 and 2 were top down. It wasn't as widely known, you know, it wasn't as wide. But once GTA 3 came out and like you could take hookers into the alley and kill them, everybody started paying attention. Yeah, that's what did it. The people who wanted to do that and the moms and dads who didn't want their kids to get in on that and all the politicians. And it's just been, it's just been so huge. But really, like GTA 4, I remember being pretty big. I mean, Vice City, San Andreas, everything's been big. But I think this is the biggest moment ever in the sphere of GTA and maybe even in gaming.
Oh, dude, definitely in gaming.
Because, I mean, after having, 12, 15, whatever it is, years of GTA Online, and so many people buying it, and it's still being in the top of the charts every month. And of course, GTA 5, everybody's had a chance to play through it by now. it just reaches so many more people.
Yeah.
Combined with the fact that compared to when GTA 5 came out, we were basically in the Stone Age then. Now we're connected all the time, everywhere, literally. Everything. I mean, 2013, you thought already we were connected every way possible. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like when GTA 7 comes out. But yeah, so just the hype alone for a single image announcing a trailer to announce a game we already knew was coming and probably wouldn't be coming for a while. It's just insane how much that brought in. And I really can't imagine anything else as big. Honestly, it probably beat internet chatter for just about every other topic, except for maybe Michael Jackson dying. And that was 15 years ago. So yeah, it's really interesting. Interesting to see. We got some chats here. Let's see what we got. Rockstar is a genuine force in not just gaming. GTA is so huge, you can call them a force in culture. Yeah, that's true. I just said that. And I think you probably typed it before I said it, but I didn't see it. Do you remember where you were when GTA 5 came out? Brandon, I want you to tell the story of your dad. We've told this story on the show before. But I think this is the monumental occasion. It's worth telling the story about your dad at the midnight release.
Right. My dad's been a Grand Theft Auto fan since 3. I don't think he played any of the other ones, but he was a huge GTA 3 fan, loved Vice City, loved San Andreas. I grew up with Grand Theft Auto, and he even loved 4, which I didn't even really get as into as he did. But so he was obviously really hyped for GTA 5, right? And fast forward years later, I mean, he's played hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I don't know anyone who's played as much GTA 5 as my dad has. So we're all going to the midnight release, right? Back when they still did this. Most of the time in our town, they don't have enough interest to do this anymore. So we don't even get midnight releases about half the time. But it was a midnight release. And so we go to our 24-hour diner, Dustin and I. And my dad is like, yeah, I'm going to head over now. And we're like hours early. That's why we're going to get dinner. And we're like, okay, I mean, I guess you can go wait for hours if you want to. So, you know, we hang out, we eat, you know, just chill out for a bit, and we roll up and maybe, you know, an hour before, maybe 45 minutes before, and we're all just hanging out in line. My dad's smoking a cigarette, and, you know, there's a little bit of a lull in the conversation for a minute, and he takes a drag of his cigarette and he goes, I came too fucking early. I swear to God, he had to have been sitting in his car for like over 2 hours easily. But yeah, that was a crazy midnight release. I mean, there were people peeling out of the parking lot and everything. I'd never been to a midnight release that was that lit. I feel like it speaks to so many more demographics than like your typical gamer demographic, let's say. But yeah, man, it was so cool. I was there midnight, and I bought the game again another time. I know that's what a lot of people did, but...
Oh, you didn't buy it at midnight that night?
No. What I did actually is Target for a little bit. I had the 360 version, okay. And then you could like trade up to the next-gen console. They had like a deal running for a little bit. Yeah, man, good times. And I don't know. Do we want to talk about the trailer? Because I feel like the trailer is nuts.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I was just going to say to pitch it to Dave. Dave, it's kind of crazy that it's been two console generations since this game. And you would think that if you skip two generations, you may not have the hype, but that has not been the case. I guess they didn't skip two. They're on to the second one since GTA 5 came out. But just a lot of like so many reissues and re-releases, and obviously, they're selling like the cards like crazy because people play GTA Online. And the shark cards spend so much money on those. But I just thought, Dave, it's kind of crazy that it's been two generations, really, since GTA 5, yep. And it's still as relevant as ever.
Yeah, and like how many weeks was Grand Theft Auto 5 at the top of the sales charts?
It still is.
Yeah, it's just unreal the persistence that this game has had. And I think GTA Online kind of fueled it. And just to kind of segue into the talk about the trailer, when we got the official confirmation from Take-Two that there was a next GTA game that was coming, the first thing that came to my mind is like year and a half or a year ago, we were talking on this podcast about how much money Grand Theft Auto Online was making. And I think I remember saying like, Rockstar doesn't need to make another Grand Theft Auto. Like they are printing money with Grand Theft Auto Online. And there's a chance that Grand Theft Auto 6 could actually threaten or kind of disrupt the money that they're making with online. And when this got announced, and now that we've seen the trailer and stuff, I kind of thought to myself, like, that was a bit naive of me, because we know what rock stars are like. And even though they're printing money over there, like, they are innovators, and they're really working hard and taking all this money and dumping into something that is, you know, may feel like a traditional open world game, but is going to be like just fraught full of new and cool ideas. And I think that's what's exciting about this, is now we're getting our first glimpse of how cutting edge it is going to be. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. Brandon, move on to the trailer.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, and let's hop right into it. I mean, you know, we knew because of the listing that it wasn't going to be a very long trailer. And I saw on Twitter that the first trailers, even though this was like a minute 30, which has been like the longest ever in recent years, that we weren't going to get too much. But man, did it feel like we got a lot in a minute 30. Was it just me?
No, I agree. It felt like it was packed.
Like, yeah, I don't know, man. We didn't really know what was going on with the setting too much, to my knowledge. Did we know prior to this?
Nope.
I didn't think so. Okay. So
we had rumors of where it was, like, right, where it was going to be. Like,
but no confirmation. Yeah. And, you know, you instantly see the iconic locations. You instantly recognize cars. But I've been seeing it over Twitter all day. This is like the third or fourth wave of PR that this game is getting. It's just the absolutely hysterical references. All the Florida Man references. Like, it's such gold. And GTA, there are very few games that there are TV shows that do satire pretty well, right? But not many games do it as well as Grand Theft Auto has consistently for years now. I mean, the entire thing is a satire. Like, that's kind of has been the shtick for years, right? But man, between that and, you know, seeing all these really cheeky ass references to Florida culture and having our buddy from Miami being like, I recognize some of this shit, and man, it's just so cool to see. And on top of that, it's like it was delivered in such a just absolutely phenomenal looking package. And, you know, you can say whatever you want about it. Like, it looked amazing. Like, at points, it almost looked photorealistic. And I know we say that all the time about games. And, you know, we weren't getting like macro shots of stuff or anything. But yeah, just in motion, it was so crazy to see, even from GTA 5, which, by a lot of standards, I mean, on PC, I'm sure still looks really good to the day. I don't have it on PC, but yeah, just what an insane step up. And I mean, I would assume the trailer's running on a PC, but even still, like, super crazy, and love to see the settings, love the callbacks, and love just right in your face right away, the satire is there, and it's like, this is what we're about. And I've been seeing it all day on Twitter, and it makes me laugh every single time, man. Seriously, it does. Yeah. Like, the Florida man culture in a video game is going to be just, we've only scratched the surface. That was a minute 30, you know, like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. What did you think, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, I've only watched it once. I plan to go back and watch it again a few more times. And another thing I really want to do is I kind of want to go back and watch the first trailer for Grand Theft Auto 5, because now that, you know, we've all played Grand Theft Auto 5, and it's kind of cool to go back and watch that and realize how many little hints there were to, like, gameplay and story hidden within that trailer. And then it's kind of fun to watch what we have now with GTA 6 and kind of speculate. I remember going back and watching the Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer and being like, oh, you know, they didn't even talk about heists when this trailer came out, but, like, there's so many clues and hints that this is going to be a big part of the game. So I like that. I have to admit, I was a little disappointed in the setting. Now I Vice City is my favorite game in the series. I love that game dearly. But I a small part of me was kind of hoping that we were going to see something new. Granted, you know, this is Vice City. This is Florida. It's going to be a bigger map. It's several decades in the future, so there's a lot that can change. I feel like a lot that identified and set Vice City apart was the 1980s, and obviously we're not getting that here, so I think there's going to be a lot of differences there. But I feel like Rockstar could have done whatever they wanted, and people would love it, and they do it really, really well. And I thought it was a little, I don't know, I was just hoping for something a little bit different. But in any case, what we've seen in the trailer kind of shows, just to echo what I said before, that, you know, they've really taken the last several years to really innovate and make this really cutting edge and fun and interesting. And it's probably going to live on just like GTA 5 did for another 15 years. So, as I said, I'm excited to go back and kind of pick it apart a little bit and watch some of the reaction videos where, you know, they take a 1 minute video and they turn it into a 30-minute trailer where they just like play, pause. What is this? Play, pause. What is this? So, yeah, again, fun times. It's just fun times.
Absolutely, Dave. Brandon, I'm wondering, what do you think about the fact that it's, you know, it seems like it's going to be so full of modern pop culture references and stuff about social media and everything else? Like there's that hint of that in there, or there's a lot of it in there. And we understand it because we've lived through that. But we want games to stand the test of time. And with something like Vice City, you know, when Vice City came out, it was very easy to, it was a period piece,
right?
Like things were way in the past, so you maybe you didn't know them, and if you did, it helped a little bit. But with something that's so like right now, do you think it loses the potential of relevancy in the future? And that even goes for when it releases in probably 2 years. Some of that stuff might already be like out of memory, but especially in 10 years, it's probably, I mean, it's very likely it's at least another 10 years before we get another GTA game if the things go the same way they've been. So I don't know, are you at all, does that bother you at all?
No, I think that honestly you're right. And so something like Vice City, one of my most beloved games, I played it on PSP and I played it on PS2. What's interesting about that is I wasn't a part of that culture either, but it's done in such a way that has such a respect and an understanding for it, and in such an accessible way that is an easily told story with, you know, quippy and catchy things going on. It's like it gets you interested in that. So do I feel like maybe it won't be as relevant and maybe some people won't know what's going on at points if it's more modern? Sure. But the beauty about the GTA game is that there's like something for everybody in these games. And I gained an appreciation for 80s culture that I didn't even have. I'm telling you, some of my earliest, growing up with San Andreas and growing up with Vice City, I can tell you that the radio stations heavily affected my music taste. And that's such a magical thing. And I think that there's no way Rockstar is going to fall short on this one. I mean, I actually find it kind of interesting, and actually the opposite effect of that it's modern. I feel like it almost is giving us an ability to, whereas we were reflecting on and satiring the past, I feel like it's almost a more genuine experience when you can almost satire the present, because that's something that can be more difficult to do without retrospect. And I feel like that's kind of, it might take a little bit extra, but I feel like in some ways it's almost more meaningful to look at what's happening now and criticize it than having all this time to criticize what happened before. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. I think that definitely makes sense. Dave, your perspective on, I don't know, the time period, and is it good or bad? I don't know. I don't think it's good or bad, but will it be appreciated in the future?
That's a good question. I think like if I was to take another 10 years and then go back and play GTA 5, which as Ed has just kind of mentioned in the chat, that's kind of early 2010s. And as you were talking, I was thinking about like GTA 5, one of the key art images is a girl taking a selfie in early 2010s. That was the social media thing, was selfies, and TikTok wasn't a thing. So how is GTA 6 going to embrace those kind of trends and hopefully make fun of it because they're ridiculous? And you know, how is that going to be reflected in several years? So yeah, it's definitely a good point that not doing kind of a period piece is something that may not age well. But at the same time, I think playing it in the present just makes it so much more interesting, because, you know, just like South Park does so well, like it's, you're laughing at like current events in such like a reflective way. So it's sort of that. I think another reason why these games are so special, it's, you know, why GTA 5 is so special and GTA 6 is, it's endearing. Like we're kind of laughing at ourselves in a way, because it's making fun of stuff that we think is relevant now. But yeah, and yeah, just a really nice snapshot of time. It's cool.
Trash says, we are so deep into the internet shit that it's really hard for anyone to say anything new. I think that's true. And I do think that, you talk about selfies being the big thing. I mean, selfies are still a big thing, right? So there's a very good potential that a lot of the modern stuff we see now is still the modern thing in another 10 years or even longer. Ed says, something I'm definitely looking forward to. GTA 5 gave me Kendrick Lamar. Let's go. And I think 4 gave me Kanye West. So you're looking for your new, I assume you're looking for your new music.
Ed, that's King Kendrick. Please, please. King Kendrick. It's King Kendrick.
Thank you. And just to reinforce what Brandon said, Vice City gave me Flock of Seagulls.
Seriously, oh, yeah. That is their song, and that's all. That is it. Yeah, that is it, man.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit, and I mean, if you don't like GTA, you probably don't want to listen to any podcast this week, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Let's talk a little bit about the leaks leading up to... not only the leak, the TikTok leak from the developer's son.
Allegedly. Just hold up. Raddick, okay. Get the fuck out. Get the what fuck out.
That was a Toronto man.
What? I don't even no, agree no, that's that. A troll.
He's trolling. No. I am now paying the troll toll. You got me this so time. What, you got me so this
what,
time.
If you're not seeing it or hearing it or whatever, what Raddick said in chat is Drake is better than Kendrick. Let's be real.
How do you feel it? As a Canadian, Dave, about that statement.
I think it's just, wow. It's utter horseshit is what it is.
See, even from the mainland of Drizzy, he does not accept that shit. You see what I'm saying here? I did bite hard. I know. He knew. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Here's what we'll do. If you agree with the statement, give a thumbs up on the YouTube video. If you disagree with the statement, give a thumbs up on the YouTube video. Either way, throw a thumbs up, a like on... onto the YouTube video. Raddick's conversation is going to be ignored for the rest of the show, as is normal. Anytime he talks about pop culture, I'm like, you're like 23 and a half, dude. You don't like, I don't even, that might be giving him, that's too old, I think. Let's talk about the leaks. So we got the original leak from TikTok from allegedly from the developer's son.
Imagine that.
And then of course we have the leak of the actual trailer.
Yeah.
On Twitter with a Bitcoin advertisement stamped over it. At least that was one of the ones I saw initially. And they just said, you know what, whatever, we're releasing it early. But Dave, I don't know. You don't have to talk about the specifics of the leak, but just about leak culture and how you feel about it.
I mean, it's going to come out eventually. So, you know, I know in this case, the sender wants to control the message. But yeah, it's just kind of going back to what we opened up with and how big, you know, Grand Theft Auto is in pop culture. Like, this is going to get out, and they're, you know, kudos to Rockstar for keeping the game under wraps for so long. Cause predictably they've been working on this game probably for at least 5 years. And we're just, you know, the setting was leaked like a matter of weeks, maybe a month or two ago.
There were some hints like a year ago.
Hint, but, yeah, but nothing confirmed. Yeah. So for all intents and purposes, the vast majority of people just found out this was placed in Florida and Vice City yesterday when the trailer came out. So kudos to Rockstar for keeping it under wraps for this long, because it's been in the works for a long, long time. But yeah, I mean, these things are so sought after that, you know, leaks are going to happen, and it's kind of trashy. I generally, when something like this happens, I personally like to not give the leaker the benefit and, you know, try to go to an official source, because I don't want to see somebody's fucking Bitcoin advertising or anything like that. So yeah it is what
it is. By the time I got onto Twitter and saw it had been like 6 minutes since they posted it, and I literally saw the thumbnail on Twitter, and I clicked on it because I was like, I gotta see if this is real, and it was already taken down. So that's how quick, like, you had to be there quickly, at least for the repost or whatever that I saw. So, and Ed's right in the chat. We also did have that dev build leak from maybe going on 2 years ago. I don't know. Time has changed. I don't know when anything actually happened anymore. I had kids like 10 years ago, and then everything else has just been sometime within the last couple of weeks, as far as my memory is concerned. But yeah, we did have a dev build that leaked, and that's when we found out the protagonist was, at least one of the protagonists was most likely going to be a Latino woman. So we did know that, but he says, no way that was last year or this year. That is entirely possible. You'll see. When you become old and feeble like me, you'll understand how you don't understand how time works anymore. Okay. Last thing. game is not confirmed, and this doesn't mean it's definitely not coming, but it's not confirmed for PC at launch. And of course, we don't know specifically when launch is going to be, other than it's going to be 2025, most likely. But I wanted to talk about this in a couple aspects. One, why? And then two, the online streamer RP culture has enabled GTA to grow so much larger than just the online could have done, because there are so many people who've gotten into it from that angle alone. And of course, streamers play a big culture. Of course, streamers can play on PlayStation, Xbox, whatever. But I don't know why. Brandon, why are they not putting it out on... Why is it not confirmed, at least, for
PC? I mean, they've made it very clear that they want to put out a product that's finished at release. And I don't think they're the type of company that really is going to take many big risks. They've done this in the past where they've put PC out later, and it clearly is something that takes a lot more time to kind of perfect and has a lot more quirks to it. In some ways,
Red Dead 2 was like forever after
it launched. You know, consoles. Do I think it's lame? Because I think a large portion of their audience was incredibly increased because of something like GTA RP, which is only on PC. Do I think it's lame? Right. Yes. Do I understand why they wouldn't want to open that can of worms at launch? Yes. So it sucks, but like at the end of the day, it's like if you really want to play the game, you're going to buy it anyways. So fucking deal with it. And then, you know, it's going to come. There's no doubt it's going to come with the success it's had. But I don't know. I feel
Dave does.
I was going to say, I just feel like at this rate, it's just super clear that they want to put out something that's quality because that's what they always do. And, you know, as shitty as it is for the consumer, it's like, well, what would you rather have? You know, I would rather just have the complete game and it polished in some capacity. And if that means I have to wait another year for it to come out, great. If that means I have to wait 2 years for the PC version to come out, that's fine, because we don't want another fucking Cyberpunk. We don't want to have to wait 4 years for it to get good, you know? And Rockstar doesn't want that either, so.
Right. Dave, how much do you think that piracy plays a role in this decision? Obviously, there is the quality control angle, but do you think they're thinking like how much money they could lose if they put it out there instead of just on consoles at first?
Yeah, it's going to be the thing to play when it comes out. And if you have it a console exclusive to begin with, then I think you kind of it kind of works as a safeguard against you know, people coming in and you know, pirating it online. So I think that makes sense. I'll just kind of echo what Brandon says. I think Grand Theft Auto has historically been a console game, and it probably makes sense for as much of a monster as this game is going to be, technically, that it makes sense for Rockstar to just kind of focus on getting it working on current gen hardware. So I think it makes sense to kind of go this route. Somebody in the chat kind of mentioned that this could be a strategy too, because people will buy it twice. That could also be part of it. But I think the underpinning reason is what Brandon said, where, you know, let's just focus on console, because it's not as simple as just, you know, putting something on PC is not easy. So use your resources, put it in one spot, and then release on
PC. Even though it's built on PC, it's still it's not as simple as just...
The hardware is so complex, you know? You have to work with so many more... so many more variables on PC, and I think that makes for a non-stable game. And they, like I said, they made it clear that they, and have in the past, that they're interested in making their games as stable and as high quality as possible, and that's paid off for them time and time again. So why would they change it now? I mean, I feel like Rockstar, you know, a lot of companies could learn a lot from Rockstar, and they never will because they don't have the resources, but, you know, they do it in a way because they have the resources and because they allocate those properly and do it in the right time frame that, you know, a lot of companies can't do. So,
yeah, agreed. It will be interesting. The next probably close to 2 years of our lives will be consumed with some of this news. And I don't think we'll spend all that much time unless something big is happening. I'm not going to comment every week on, you know, new speculations or anything.
This
like
is a Grand Theft Auto podcast now.
No, this is a Fortnite podcast. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know if you knew that or not, but that is the story. There is my wife was talking about me having a podcast, and somebody was like, "Oh, what's it about?" She's like, "Oh, it's about Fortnite." And then she was telling me about the conversation later, and then she was like, "Don't." I was like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "Yeah, I told him it was about Fortnite." I was like, no, it's not. She's, I was like, we talk about Fortnite sometimes. She goes, I thought that was your show about Fortnite. I was like,
we had one.
We quit that like 3 years ago. And she's like, oh. You still do a podcast though, right? I was like,
Yes. Oh, dude, also, we didn't mention this, but you know, once again, to just double down on the influence this has on pop culture and like YouTube culture, 71 million views in 24 hours is absolutely batshit crazy. When you have like 30,000 people looking at a blank screen before the trailer even dropped, dude, it's, people are hungry, man. And I cannot blame them, but they are fucking hungry. And this game, we thought we were seeing records this year for games. Dude, just wait. Just wait.
Yep.
So,
It will blow everything out of the water. I mean, probably the only game once it's all said and done that ever will sell more than GTA 5 is Minecraft. And that's been over 20 plus years. So, yeah, it'll be insane. And it's also on literally every platform, including smartwatches, I'm pretty sure. So.
It's on.
Speaking of Fortnite.
Oh, shit.
Let's go. Brandon, I know this one's especially for you. Like I said, if you're not a GTA fan or a Fortnite fan, most of this podcast is going to be bore you. But we'll try to move a little bit.
It's the big news. What are you going to do?
It is the big news. Number two, Fortnite enthusiasts are anticipating the world premiere announcement of Rocket Racing, a new game mode inspired by Rocket League, during the Game Awards in 2023. Host Jeff Keighley has teased Rocket Racing's debut, set for December 8th, promising a fast-paced racing experience within Fortnite's universe. Psyonix, the studio behind Rocket League, collaborates with Epic Games, and actually, they own them, but, you know, they're collaborating, with this supersonic arcade racer featuring tracks with boosters for competitive play. Epic Games' acquisition of Psyonix in 2019 lays the groundwork for this cross-title collaboration. In addition to Rocket Racing, Epic Games is introducing other new experiences to Fortnite. Lego Fortnite, a survival crafting Lego adventure, merges Lego's creativity with Fortnite's open worlds, debuting on December 7th. Rocket Racing, resembling Psyonix Rocket League, delivers a supersonic arcade racing mode December 8th. Developed by Harmonix, the creators of Rock Band Fortnite Festival, a musical mode enabling players to form bands and rock to hit songs, launches on December 9th. This trio of additions amplifies the excitement for Fortnite players, aligning with the unveiling of what I haven't mentioned yet, which is Chapter 5, a brand new map, new mechanics, new animations, etc., that enhances the overall gaming experiences. Brandon, is it time to get down to Victory Royale?
Yeah, Fortnite, we're about to get down. So Oh no, dude. It is the fabled song. The tale as old as time there. Now this is cool. They had teased that something big was going to be changing with Fortnite after the OG season. I don't think anyone had any idea how big this change was going to be. I mean, typically we get large fundamental changes to the game every season or nearly every season. But having entire new modes. I mean, I checked out a lot of these. There's like a little preview. If you sat through the Big Bang event, you got a little bit, a little tease, let's say that, of what these modes were going to be like. So got to try out the Rocket League mode. It seemed fine. It's just like a racer. I guess that's kind of cool. The Lego mode, I'm incredibly intrigued by. You didn't really try that out so much as just like flew around and looked at stuff. Obviously super cool. You know, as a fan of the Lego games, I'm always interested in more Lego games because they always end up being really fun for absolutely no reason necessarily.
And it's a survival game.
True. Which,
at least that's what they're calling it.
Which, you know, between Ben and I, we both love the genre. So, and lastly, more recently, we've got back into Rock Band, and this is kind of a funny time to kind of be dipping our toes back into that and Psyonix. We're like, I wonder what they're doing right now. And it's like, oh, well, they're working on a game inside Fortnite. So, even got to try a little demo of that. It isn't quite the same as holding the guitar, I'll admit firsthand, but as a huge fan of music, I am always interested in rhythm games. So, yeah, this is really cool, and it shows, once again, another giant clearly and always willing to innovate in some ways and to not necessarily stagnate like some companies, Activision. This is just really cool to see. And we were enjoying Fortnite before all this happened. So all this news coming out, it's like we were having fun before this. And now to have essentially, you know, three entire new I don't know that I want to call them games, but they kind of are like three new games.
I think they are. So, yeah.
And I guess we'll see how flushed out they are here next week. But yeah, super, super interesting. Already invested in the ecosystem. So this is going to be an easy win for me. But I don't know what you think, Dave. I know.
Well, Dave,
go ahead.
I was gonna pitch it to Dave and ask, you know, I know you're a newcomer to Fortnite. You've played a couple games. You died to the storm in one of them, from what I understand, in your first game ever. Which, hey, that happens. But you've not been a big Fortnite guy in the past, and that's totally fine. Do any of these modes intrigue you? And also, I wanted to talk about the fact that a couple weeks ago we talked about how Snoop Dogg and his son were starting a new gaming company, and it was going to be within the Fortnite engine. And we were like, how does that work? Well, as we're seeing, this is how it works. You create new games, you create new experiences, you pull the Roblox approach, and you do it. I don't know. How do you see all that working, and are we going to see more of it without it being Epic related?
Yeah, well, Brandon kind of finished off with a really important word there, and I think it's ecosystem. And I think what Epic is making with Fortnite is not kind of a singular experience. It's a lot of things. Like, you can play a Rocket League style game, or you can play a Battle Royale, or you can do the Rockstar kind of thing, or you can learn how to be a developer in Fortnite, which is, you know, the Snoop Dogg thing kind of. So I did download Fortnite the other week, and it was more on Ben's endorsement of, like, not so much you should come play it with us, and, you know, I wanted to play with the boys, but it was more like, Ben, you were talking about, like, how good it was as a third person shooter. And you know, I played a little bit of Fortnite, but I think that's what kind of rung with me, and I booted it back up, I played a couple games, and it kind of just reminded me of how much battle royales do not resonate with me. But that's not the point. The point is like, I think with Fortnite, there's going to be so much more to do, and there already is so much more to do. I was watching people on Twitch play like a Squid Game style match, and like, that was cool. And it wasn't Battle Royale. Well, it kind of was in a way, but in any case, I think this is kind of showing what direction Epic is really trying to take Fortnite in, and how they're trying to give this thing legs for a long, long time to come. Because adding skins to Battle Royale is going to, you know, lose steam at some point. So I think this is a really interesting way they're going about it. And it's going to be making money for a long, long time. So, yeah.
I think a key piece of that skins conversation, and Brandon mentioned ecosystem as well, is people have been playing this game now for, what did it come out in, 2018? Save the World initially, I think, came out in 2017 or 2018. And of course, many people have started playing it then and never stopped. Brandon and I, we have played it off and on for many years. And over time, we've accumulated like a lot of skins and a lot of different things in the game. And if Epic were to just say, we've got a new game, you should get into it, and it were just a completely different game, maybe it's still free to play, but I got to start over from square one, that feels a little rough. Compared to, hey, everything you already own in Fortnite, you can still use in these games. I mean, the skins are going to be available in those games, that you're going to be able to earn new skins in Fortnite for the other games, and the other games for Fortnite, vice versa. The battle pass is going to be shared. Like, it's such a stroke of genius that I'm wondering how they didn't do it sooner, because they've had all these assets for so long. So that's really interesting to see. And it's also interesting to think about how, like, you know, battle royale genre doesn't appeal to Dave very much. That's fine. Not everybody's going to like the same genre. But guess what? Maybe people who don't like battle royales really like survival games, and they like building, but they're not really wanting to go out and be playing a third person shooter, but they want to still. And so they're still going to make your money from that. And, you know, you want to play Rock Band on a controller or a keyboard, whatever, but hey, you want to play Rock Band and you don't have a way to do it anymore. Now you do. You want to play Rocket League, but you don't really like Rocket League because everybody's a shitter in Rocket League. No personal experience coming through there in my bias, I guess. But now you got another way to play that. So I just think having that ecosystem and having all that stuff, like, it's clearly worked in a different way, but having everything in one ecosystem has worked for Roblox so well, and they're so gigantic. It's insane. I mean, there's games in Roblox that are made in Roblox, and that you have to download Roblox to play these games. There are games in there that have merchandise at Walmart. Like, that's pretty substantial. to have a game inside of a game that has its own merchandise. So yeah, it's really interesting to see, and I'm really curious to know if it's going to be a net positive or a net negative for the rest of the industry, because are other people going to start trying to do the same stuff? And if so, is it going to divert resources from getting other types of games, or are we just going to see more we've got three studios. We've got Epic, we've got Psyonix, and we've got what's the other one?
Harmonix.
Harmonix, all working on Fortnite essentially now. And while they're going to be working on different modes, could they be out doing other things, making other games? You know, somebody mentioned that they're not really working on Rocket League anymore. I'm sure they're doing some work, but you know, they're not really working on Rocket League anymore. I don't know. I don't know how that looks for the future of gaming and the future of the industry in general. So it'll be interesting to see. Any thoughts there? You don't have to elaborate if you don't want, but
also for free.
Yeah,
that's free. The other thing,
and they're making so much money.
And
still.
Like, I know I bitch about the free, but I don't know. Here's my thing. I feel like Fortnite has kind of been the pioneer of this, and has kind of made a lot of the headway in the industry and set a lot of the standards. And I still feel like playing Fortnite, I'm experiencing one of the better and maybe the best models, even as it's continued to develop over the years. And I don't feel that way in other free-to-play games sometimes. So, I don't know. They're not like, you know, I'm not meat riding or anything. I've said it. I got a lot of respect for what they're doing with this game. And I feel like, is it a net negative that these companies could be working on something else? Possibly. But, I mean, this is the way it goes. And the option is this or Embracer. And they get buried. So, I don't know. I guess this is better than that.
Sure.
I'm convinced that Roblox exists. And you mentioned Roblox, and that's kind of why I thought about it. But I'm convinced that Roblox exists for the sole purpose of conditioning the youngest of gamers to consume microtransactions. And if that is the case, then I think, unfortunately, that's where this is going long term for the entire industry. Yeah. And I think every publisher sees the amount of money that Epic's making with this style of delivery. And it's just, I'll talk more about it when we get into what we've been playing, but yeah, it's, times are changing.
Yeah. The times they are changing indeed. We've got a few hellos in the chat, and hello to everyone who is popping in for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time. We appreciate having you. And then there's a lot of conversation about Fortnite being great, conversations that are trolling about fair games. We don't acknowledge Radic anymore. So anyway, let's move on. We got a couple more news items, and then we'll talk about what we've been playing. I want to move through this quickly because we like to keep the show to about an hour. It's going to be a little over that, but not too long, hopefully. Both of these next news stories kind of come from the same place, but number three is that Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, addressed the possibility of reviving classic games, including the beloved Banjo-Kazooie franchise. Acknowledging the desires of Banjo fans, Spencer expressed the company's openness to revisiting iconic characters and stories when the right team and the opportunity arise. Banjo-Kazooie, a Rare-owned platformer, hasn't seen a new installment since Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, released 15 years ago for Xbox 360. While the franchise has gained recent prominence with Banjo and Kazooie featured in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, the series added to the Nintendo Switch Online, and the prospect of a new game remains uncertain. Original Rare team members in a 25th anniversary interview with Video Games Chronicle, we talked about this a little while back, expressed uncertainty about the existence of the right team and questioned the audience's size for a new Banjo-Kazooie game. Guys, I wanted to talk a little bit, not just about Banjo-Kazooie, but about the fact that Xbox already had access, of course, to Rare with Sea of Thieves and hopefully someday Everwild, but they don't have all their IP, of course, but they do have Banjo-Kazooie and they have some others. Are you interested in a Banjo-Kazooie revival? And also along with that, what other games that Microsoft now owns under its new massive umbrella, including Activision, do you want to see a revival of? Brandon, we'll go to you first. Are there any, you know, what stands out to you?
Oh man, why'd you throw it to me first?
Dave, let's go to you first. Is there anything you want to see?
Yeah, I don't know. When it comes to Banjo-Kazooie and Rare in general, I think the talent that kind of created the most memorable Rare experiences are long gone. And I think trying to revive any of that with whatever Rare is today is probably a lost cause. Now, I think Rare is a talented studio, but I think Rare is better served at, you know, things like Sea of Thieves or hopefully whatever Everwild is, new experiences, because I feel like trying to dig up some of the you know, retro Rare stuff, like Perfect Dark hasn't really gone very well. Donkey Kong, obviously, that is owned by Nintendo. But I don't know. I feel like with Banjo-Kazooie, just maybe stick to a remaster or a re-release or something like that. But maybe don't try to go back to the well with this one, other than just a remaster or remake. As for something else I'd want, I don't know. I can't really think off the top of my head what I would like to see Microsoft bring back. I'm okay with new IP. Microsoft, yeah, you can just kind of focus on that. Like, let's get some new stuff. So, yeah. Yeah.
Brandon, I don't know if you need some more time, but I got...
You're good. I think that worst case scenario, I feel like they could revive Banjo, even if they just did a simple port. Kind of like how they did Crash, you know, test the waters, and then if the IP continues to grow in the modern age, then I feel like we can continue to build upon that. I feel like it wouldn't take much effort to kind of bring it over in any capacity. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it kind of would be a win-win. You maybe get one of your smaller studios to kind of port it out and then see how it goes. But far as other Activision titles, I mean, man, you know what I would love to see? I don't know if you guys have any experience with this game, and I know they recently did a remake of this, but I would love to see a new True Crimes. I was a huge fan of True Crimes of New York. I played a little bit of LA, but I thought this was a really interesting series back in the day. It's been many, many years, but yeah, I would love to see a new true crime game, especially with obviously the rise of things like Grand Theft Auto, like an open world game like this. Not exactly the same as GTA, you know, the other side of it, I guess the police, but yeah, I'd love to see them bring this back.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that I think, you know, talking about Banjo specifically or other games in that same genre where they have a few games that are a little older at this point, you know, just doing a remaster, which is still hard work, but or a remake, which is hard work, and putting that out and testing the waters. And then if you sell 10 million copies, you make another one. Okay, that's totally fine. But I think if they were to just like slightly up-res them and put out a collection just to satisfy that itch of people who want to be able to play stuff on modern hardware, on a modern platform, then I think that goes a long way. Of course, if they're diverging from working on new IP, then I'm not for that, because I'm with Dave. I want new IP, and I think Brandon thinks that as well. But with that said, if it can, you know, if it can make them some cash, they'd be silly not to do it. So, kind of along the same guidelines, I think in the same interview, number four, Xbox invests over $1 billion a year into its Xbox Game Pass subscription service, according to Xbox head Phil Spencer. This substantial financial commitment supports third-party games entering Game Pass, offering a diverse range of titles from major releases to indie games. Game Pass, a service built over the last 5 years, extends across PC and cloud platforms, contributing significantly to the Xbox console identity. While Game Pass won't be coming to PlayStation or Nintendo platforms, so Spencer says, at least they don't have any plans for it, Spencer emphasized a focus on innovation for users committed to the Xbox hardware platform. Additionally, Xbox is actively working on a mobile store to compete with the major players like Apple and Google, considering it an essential part of the company's strategy. And of course, especially since they own several mobile game developers now, that is way more necessary than before. But Dave, I just wanted to see what you thought about that number, $1 billion a year on Game Pass. It's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but if I just kind of quickly checked it the last time we got a Game Pass figure on how many people subscribed to Game Pass, January 2022, it was estimated 25 million, or sorry, Microsoft said 25 million. So you times that by roughly $10 per user per month. It works out to about $3 billion in revenue a year. So investing a third of that, at least, makes a little bit of sense. I also wonder what does investment mean? That can be a very broad term. Does investment mean, you know, as it's kind of identified in this article, where it's pouring some money into third-party games, or is an acquisition of Activision, does that count as an investment? Because I would say that's an investment in Game Pass. But I don't know. A billion dollars is seems about right. And I think I think Microsoft is probably seeing return on that. So yeah, I mean, hopefully this means that the subscription service is moving in the right direction, and we continue to see Microsoft aggressively invest in Game Pass, because it makes it better for us. So yeah, it seems about
right. Absolutely. Brandon, do you think that, I mean, I guess we have no way to know that that number can't include their own first party games. So they're really spending more on it in some way, if you think about
it. You'd think not, but Dave said it right. I mean, this is really their cash cow. You know, obviously they're making money off the software, but the monthly subscription is the new model in almost all forms of consumption. And so investing in this as it grows and continues to grow is a no-brainer. I mean, this is going to sustain Xbox and all they do for years to come. And $1 billion does seem like a lot of money, but Dave's absolutely right. In no way does that seem out of the ordinary, and it's good for us. You know, I'm a Game Pass subscriber, and, you know, part of me wishes PlayStation had something as robust as Game Pass. And so, you know, when one platform continues to get better, you hope that at some point the rest catch up. So, yeah, this is good.
Well, I don't think PlayStation would have expanded their PlayStation Plus program at all to include basically a library if it hadn't been for Game Pass pushing them to do
exactly. Exactly. It's a win-win, so.
Yeah. And you were subscribed to the higher tier of PlayStation Plus for a while.
Yeah.
But it didn't call to you as much as
Game Pass. I did for like about a year. And it's only because I got a pretty good deal and I had some very like specific interests that, you know, a couple of them actually the only easy way for me to play it at all on my modern console was to do that. You know, some of the old God of Wars I was able to stream, you know, without the hardware anymore. So I guess unless there's something niche, I really don't feel like, and we've said this before, I don't think that PlayStation's product, unless there's something specific on it, which I guess you could argue that with Game Pass for some people too, but yeah, I just think it's definitely a superior product and investing in it is smart, either way you cut it, for us or for them. So,
yeah. All right, it's that time of the show where we talk about what we have been playing. Brandon, both games you've been playing, I have also been playing. Sure. So I'll hop in to comment periodically, but go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to start with Fortnite because we've been talking about it a lot. I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I know we had a big topic on the show about it as well, and we've talked about it for a couple weeks now. But the new update came out, and aside from all the cool new things that are going to be coming here in about a week, they added some really cool things like aim down sight to the game again, and weapon attachments, which have been really cool. It's interesting how different this game feels, even though it's actually the same game. And it's crazy that a season can do that. So a lot of fun. I'm interested in playing it some more. We haven't had quite as much success, but I think we're still getting our footing. It's only been out for a couple days. And the OG map was obviously the shit we knew. So a lot of fun. Ben, I know you haven't played too much. What were your thoughts on the new season so far?
Yeah, I mean, I like what they're doing. I like the new movement, although it's taken a little bit of getting used to with the speed and everything of moving. I like the fact that now you can heal and put shields on while you're moving around. You're a little slower, but at least you're moving. I very much enjoy like some of the just the new mechanics in general. The mantling feels a little different. The wall climbing is a little different, of course, or it's possible at all, I guess I would say. The thing that's bugging me right now, and I haven't, this just comes with playing for a while, is that there's so many new guns and guns I've never touched or seen before. And I'm just having a trouble getting used to knowing what they all do. And then also, like, I think they show the wraps in your inventory now on the guns. So when I have a specific, like, I have it set on random for all my wraps and stuff. So sometimes I'll have like three guns that look exactly the same, but they're totally different guns. I mean, they don't look exactly the same, but at a glance, it's very hard to figure out what they are when they're in my inventory. So I don't love that, but I can just disable the wraps and that's no problem. But yeah, I mean, Fortnite's one of those games that I'll probably always come back to every now and then. Right now, I'm just in a Fortnite mood, so we've been playing a good bit of it. And of course, with OG here, we had to play. It was like a legal requirement, I think, of anybody who owned the game before Battle Royale came out. But it it's scratching an itch for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, lastly, I'm playing a little game called Lethal Company. This game has been all over the internet. A smashing success for a development team of one.
Yeah, that's
it's
crazy.
Absolutely insane. Seeing articles. This is currently outselling Call of Duty on Steam, and it's such an amazing thing every time something like this happens. And I would say that even if I had only played the game once and I was like, yeah, it's not for me, I would have been happy to support this developer because the game's good and I do love it. And it just happens that I was really enjoying it. I've played it 2 times now, and I haven't played games that are similar to this. Like, a lot of people are comparing it to like Phasmophobia, which I haven't tried and I know is also super popular. But yeah, you just get a couple of your friends, you get dropped into a map and there's some scary shit going on and you got to loot and you're probably going to die. And it makes for some of the funniest interactions. I don't know if it's just the way the sound works and it's the atmosphere and it's how the camera looks a little janky or the audio's echoey. Like, I don't know what it is. The whole package just comes together in such an interesting and fun way that you don't really see a lot of games exactly like this. And I feel like it kind of stands out in a crowd of so many games. And that's kind of cool to see, especially from such a small team. But yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to playing this game again. The first time we played, we knew next to nothing about it. And so we're just kind of getting our bearings. But last night we played quite a bit more and it was really fun kind of knowing what the fuck was going on for just a minute, even if you didn't really know what was going on, just to kind of get your feet on the ground. But yeah, it's would recommend it for anyone, and at a $10 price tag, you absolutely cannot beat it for the value. I think that it is a game that, even though it doesn't have matchmaking, I feel like it's obviously best played with people you know.
It does have matchmaking if you want to join like a lobby. If you're just making your own lobby, then you can set it not
sure
that matchmaking.
But feel like obviously this is one of those games that really shines with people you know. I mean, who knows, you could always get some really wacky experience with randos. That could be fun too. But playing with your buddies in this sort of game is some unmatched fun that I've had in games anything like it recently. So
for anybody out there who has not who has heard Lethal Company but they've never experienced the game, here's the very basic gist. You can have a team of up to 4 players, at least in the vanilla version of the game. I think you can mod it to be more than that. And you are you're working for this company, and you go to places, and you have to go inside scary bunkers and find stuff to sell to the company to meet your quota. And in those scary bunkers are monsters, and they can eat you. And everything's like really dark. The thing that really makes the game stand out is if you're playing this game, don't like be talking to your buddies in Discord, because the thing that makes it really stand out is that it's kind of, you know, real to life, in that you can only hear somebody if they're super close to you. If they die, you can't hear them anymore. Because of the map is so dark in some parts, you don't always know what happened to them. Like, you know, the other night, Brandon walked into a room and the door closed behind them. And then when we walked into the room, we didn't know where he was anymore. And a monster had come and eaten him. We didn't know if he just like got lost and went too far away. We couldn't hear him anymore. If he fell into a hole that we didn't get recovered from, if a monster ate him. So we were like really freaked out. And the really fun part is if you're the person who dies, you can still hear your party talking, but they can't hear you talking anymore because you're dead. So it creates for a lot of fun in that way. And we haven't survived long enough or kept our jobs long enough, I guess, is the thing. We haven't collected enough scrap to really make it past a couple days. But you can get upgrades. You can buy weapons. You can buy flashlights, walkie-talkies, all that kind of stuff. We've participated in some of that. But there's things that you can get as you progress and make more money to make the game a little easier. You know, you can have a walkie-talkie, so one person can stay on the ship and guide them through on the map, on the thing, while the other people go. But you know, there's just a lot of cool dynamics that come along with the audio design of the game and making it so that it's only it's way more fun if you're not talking in Discord and you don't know what the hell's going on with the rest of your friends.
And Ben, you know what else too? Something you didn't mention. So not only is it fun because you're talking to your boys and, you know, you're like in a building, so you're hearing like the weird reverb and shit. But when you're talking in game, the monsters can also hear you.
Yes.
So that is an interesting experience as well. So definitely.
We were playing with our buddy Jimmy last night, and he wanted the monsters to eat his butt. He did. So he was just screaming.
He was trolling. And
I don't think any of them got him, actually. I think he just fell off the side of a rail.
I ended up just dying, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, seriously, it's so fun because, you know, we're like, oh shit, a monster. And then everybody makes it through the door, and then it's like you turn around and one of your buddies didn't make it through, and you're like, is he dead?
You don't know where.
And then
he
you
went.
Like go back to the door, and you're standing there in the dark for a second, and you just see these eyes start to walk towards you, and you just fucking scramble and run away. It's super fun, man. Would recommend highly.
Yeah. And yeah, the comparison to Phasmophobia is good. It's a similar in the voice chat way, in the scary way. There's a lot of differences as well, but I think if you loved Phasmophobia, I think there's a lot to love here with this game as well. Not the same kind of scary, not the same kind of missions that you're doing, but it's definitely in the same, I would put it in the same genre. People are comparing it to all sorts of stuff though, that I'm like, no, it's not like that other thing that you're comparing it to, but yeah, give it a shot. It's $10, like Brandon said, and it's a one-man team. I mean, this guy went from, I don't know what his situation was before. I think he was making stuff in Roblox, if I remember correctly. And then he made this, and it's just, I'm sure he is wealthy beyond what he expected, for sure. Dave, we'll go to you. I got a couple more things, but we'll go to you first. What else you got? What have you been playing?
I jumped back into Hogwarts Legacy. This was a game that came out in early last year, and Harry Potter to me is kind of a holidays thing. So I was looking forward to jumping back into it around the holiday season. So I finished the game back when I started playing it, or when I initially played it. So I'm going back, and I think I'm going to go for the platinum. What I had forgotten is like how much game is actually left with Hogwarts Legacy after you finish the campaign. Like there's a lot to do. And I think with like the owls portion, like your end of year exam, it's almost kind of like an end game. I don't know if you can do the owls before you finish the campaign. So it's kind of cool that you know, once the credits roll, like there's a significant other portion of the game that's there for you to kind of unlock and go after. So
to comment on that real quick, Dave, I think when I played it, and I did everything for the platinum, except I think you have to play as each of the houses, the intro for each one. I literally only have two of the intros left, and it's like 4 or 5 hours and I haven't finished it. But anyway, that's where I'm at. But I don't remember if I finished it before you finished the game or after, but I know that when I, whatever point it prompted me to go take my owls, I had already leveled up so much from doing everything else that I was ready for it. So it wasn't really an end game for me, but I agree that I think that's the intent.
Yeah.
For
sure. And I mean, it's cool because I've jumped back in and again, credits have rolled and I'm not just doing cleanup and I'm not just doing meaningless side missions, but I'm actually working towards this other substantial piece. So it's cool. The interesting thing is at no point have I been playing Hogwarts Legacy and said to myself, I'd really like to play a much worse version of this on a handheld. It just goes back to our conversation last week that the Switch version of Hogwarts Legacy is really for people who only have a Switch. But I finished Metroid Dread last week, and there was a lot of talk about the final boss in Metroid Dread and how difficult it was, and it was really hard. It was a three phase endurance fight. I stuck with playing in handheld mode just because I was watching my newborn daughter at the time, and I didn't really have the flexibility to go downstairs and play. And I just kind of powered through it and got it done. So, yeah, Metroid Dread is behind me. I love this game. I don't know if I'd replay it, but it was a lot of fun. And, that last boss especially really felt like a Dark Souls boss because, like, you really had to learn everything about it. And I've kind of been on this Metroid thing lately, and I've been looking at like Metroid Prime Remastered, which came out on the Switch last year, and I almost bought it last week, but then I kind of took a step further and I actually bought a GameCube earlier today.
Nice.
Okay. Out, and you can actually just see it in the picture behind me there. I bought a GameCube. It came with I bought it with Luigi's Mansion, and it came with Tony Hawk's Underground. I didn't want Tony Hawk's Underground, but it kind of came with it. So two controllers, and I booted it up for about 30 minutes before we started the show today. And yeah, I have really fond memories of my GameCube, but I also remember missing a lot. So like, I remember playing Resident Evil 4, and I remember playing Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. I played it on GameCube, not Wii, because I didn't want to do the motion controls. But like, I never played Luigi's Mansion, and I never played Pikmin, and I didn't play the original Metroid Prime. So like, I feel like there's a lot that I've kind of missed out on from my GameCube days, and I love the controller. So yeah, it was pretty exciting kind of plugging it in today and putting in the red, yellow, whites, and stuff like that. And, you know, we kind of talked a little bit earlier in the show about, you know, microtransactions in games. So it was kind of nice to put a disc in a console and boot it up, and like, it goes right to the start screen, and there's no in-game store or anything like that. There's no menu. Yeah. That's a weird thing. Like, you know, you boot up your PlayStation 5 and you go to like your main PlayStation menu. This, you go right into the game. So, yeah, I've got my eye on a couple more games. But yeah, it was cool kind of doing a little bit of retro gaming, and, I'm looking forward to seeing what else I can get. There's a retro game and collectible show, in a couple of weeks that I'm looking forward to going to see what I can find. But, yeah, a little bit different, but, yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Nice. Yeah. GameCube is one of my all time favorite consoles for sure. So I'm sure that's fun. For me, I played after last week's show, I spent a night or two playing a game called Cocoon. It was on Game Pass, and really wanted to check it out. It is, here's the gist. You're a little like thing with wings. I don't know what you are. And you go around and you can go into different dimensions. And the entire game is a puzzle game. Everything you're doing is a puzzle. And it has a lot to do with these little balls, these little spheres. I think I said cubes. I meant spheres. And the spheres take you to different worlds, and then you pick up new spheres as you go along, and some of them give you different powers. One lets you shoot, one lets you phase through objects, yada, yada. And throughout the entire game, you have to continue putting these spheres in different places to access new worlds and then figure out puzzles. There is some combat in the game, primarily with bosses, that you have to, you know, it's combat, but you're not really fighting. You are fighting. I don't know. It's really hard to explain. There's essentially no story. It's very much a experiential game, a puzzle game, I guess you could, you know, you do say, but some puzzle games have a story. This one is not one of them. I don't really know what to say about it other than that I really enjoyed it. It's a very specific vibe, much like some of the other stuff I've talked about recently, and very calming. There are tense moments, of course. I will say at the end of the game, I did end up finishing this and 100%ing it on Xbox, on Game Pass. But for the last probably hour of the game, so I spent about an hour trying to figure out the last set of puzzles, and I could not do it. I'm not very good at puzzle games to begin with, but I think objectively, even from a being good at puzzle game standpoint, this was a tough one. So I looked up a guide to get a couple, like when I got stuck, I'd look up a guide, get that prompt and finish it. And it still took me a little while after that point. So I would highly recommend it. I mean, if you are, if you're a fan of puzzle games, I think it's a great one. If you are not a fan of puzzle games, I would stay as far away from this game as possible, because that is what it is. I mean, you're not like moving pegs into holes and trying to figure out what goes where, but there's very much a portion of like, you have to put worlds inside of other worlds in order to progress and in order to get to the place you need to be. And it does get a little bit confusing. If you're a puzzle genius, maybe you have no problem with it at all, but I very much recommend it. I think it's on all platforms as well. It's by Geometric Interactive. I'm trying to think here. They've got former Playdead employees. That's what drew me to it. So Playdead, who did, was it Inside and Limbo? Inside Limbo. That's what drew me to want to check it out. I don't know that I would have checked it out otherwise, honestly, but I would say that it is a great game if you are into puzzles at all. And then the final thing I've been playing this week, in between everything else, is SteamWorld Build. Also a Game Pass game. I've been a longtime fan of all the SteamWorld games, been really yearning for a new one. And this one is a city builder. which I love City Builders. It's great. It's not quite an RTS, but it's a, well, it's a city builder. That's the best way I can describe it. And there is a story to it, although I don't really care about it that much. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to or what, but with this style of game, I've never really given much care to the stories behind them. And in it, it's a city builder. You know what it is. You build a city. You have to provide for the needs of all your residents. You have to connect them all by different roads. You have to get to certain goals. And then eventually, not only are you building the city, but you go underground and you have like a whole mining city, and you have to get different types of miners and go out and collect different resources. And you have to be able to provide all the resources to your city. And then your city is making things with them that make the residents happy, and you make money. And it's just, I love city builders and I love SteamWorld, and it's like a perfect combination. I think there are some faults to it. One of them is that the story is pretty weak, but like I said, that's not really my primary concern with most of these games. I just have seen that as a big complaint over and over, that I'm like, I don't agree, but if you're looking for that, this doesn't have it, really. I mean, there is a story there, but it's the weakest SteamWorld story by a long shot. I think another one is sometimes there's just some weird graphical bugs. Like if you remove something in the mines, and then sometimes the person who removed it, the little miner SteamWorld robot guy, whenever he removes it, he comes away and all you see is his hat walking around for a minute until he goes back and drops off the stuff. So like, that's a little weird. There's a little bit of glitch there, but I think that'll be easily fixed with a patch. It's not all the time either. So, and it's not distracting because you can't actually control the individual, miners or the characters in the game. You just see them walking around when you select certain things to be done. So overall, I'm very addicted to it. And I already have plans. Like, I'm doing this city right now, and as soon as I complete all the objectives and finish it, which I don't want to say what the end game of it is, but as soon as I finish it, I've already got mapped out for a new location. I've already started thinking of, okay, the next time I'm going to do this differently and that differently and make this a little bit more efficient. Now that I know that this has to be connected to that, I'm going to make sure I have space to put them together. So like, there's already things clicking in my head. And so I expect putting a few more hours into this one for sure. Absolutely. So that's all I really got to say about that. I would recommend it if you like City Builders or SteamWorld at all. And I think that's it for the show.
Yeah.
That's all we got. We got GTA, Fortnite, and everything else we talked about doesn't matter. Fortnite. We're about to get down.
That's right. No.
Sorry. I had it queued up. I had to. Like, it starts right there. Thanks for being here. Don't forget, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/handsomephantom. Join us in the Discord at handsomephantom.com/discord. We'll be around for just a few minutes here to figure out the name of the episode, but don't forget, you can catch us live at Ben is Handsome YT on YouTube Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, and then audio Wednesday or Thursday, depending on if you're a patron or not.
Enjoy the Game Awards.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, yeah. It's coming up. That's this week. Any big predictions you want to go through real quick?
No. Discord. Okay. I'm going to predict that our Discord will be bumping on Thursday.
It will be bumping. Yeah. That's for sure.
So I'm looking forward to a good time there.
Radic says, good show this week, which I appreciate, especially since we smoked them a little bit. We do like the smoke. But all right, guys. See you later. The HP Podcast is sponsored by our proud patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following members are at the $5 level, and we appreciate their contribution. Toby Ryland, Edward Walton, Josh Cummings, Poot, Boots, Passive Pixels, Edwin Castillo, Maurice Bays, H-Trons, Nuke Dukem, Derek O, Grabalicious, Benji Bop, and Link.